Well, hallelujah. Well, God is good, isn't he? Are you excited this morning? Hallelujah. Well, you ought to be, because God is doing awesome and amazing things in the midst of our lives. And I'm just excited because as soon as you feel like it's too much, God shows up. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? Are you warm? Are you warm? You feeling kind of warm? Yeah? Are you hot? Yeah. That means you worship well. Hallelujah. Well, as was said earlier, we are working on it. You know, we have these new thermostats, and they have automatic settings. So apparently, there's a default schedule that we didn't realize was there, and it turned on the heat last night. So that's not a good thing in this building. This building loves to hold heat. So we have it straightened out now, but it takes a while for everything to cool down. But it should be getting better as we go along. I think the longer I preach, the cooler it'll be when you leave, so by the time you go. But hopefully that won't be a deterrent, and we can get into the Word of the Lord and really examine what God is saying to us. And I really believe that the Spirit of God is doing something new in our church and new in the midst of his people. And I think that you'll see a certain consistency in what God is saying to us when you look at what God is doing in other places around the country and even around the world. Because I believe the Holy Spirit is speaking to the pastors and to the people of God as to what we ought to be about in the condition that we find ourselves here in this world. And the season of world history is what it is, and God is aware of what it is, and certainly we are headed somewhere. And the world is not really in control, God is. And because Satan is doing scriptures, you'll know that the Word of God tells us that there is an end to which Christ will prevail. And in the end, God will prevail. It doesn't seem like it as we're going along the way, but he will. And he is. And that is what is exciting about serving the Lord, because every day is an adventure. And you and I, we all play a part. And God is not willing, the Word of God says, God is not willing for anyone to perish. Did you know that? God does not want people to die. And when the Word of God is talking about perishing and dying, he's talking about eternal death, eternal separation, where you are disconnected from God forever. But the challenge is, you only have one opportunity to connect with God, and that is during your lifetime. Once your lifetime is over, it's too late. You've made your choice. So you have to choose today, in this lifetime, in this season of your life, who you will serve. That's what Joshua was challenging the people with. And that they had to choose who they're going to serve. And you and I have to also choose. You can live the way the world wants you to live, or you can live according to the inspiration of the Spirit of God, according to God himself. And it all depends on which kingdom is your authority, or which kingdom you're submitting to, or the authority of the kingdom that you will submit to. I hope I'm not confusing you. But the idea is that there are two kingdoms that are at war in humanity. And it is the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of God. They are opposing each other. And that is because when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, a door opened. And the authority that God originally gave to Adam was transferred over to Satan. And that is because when God gave Adam the authority that God originally had for himself, because Adam was made in God's image, Satan then became Adam's master. When Adam obeyed God, then everything that God did and God said was transferred to the authority of Adam. And so Adam was able to have the authority and rule and reign. But once Adam decided he was going to listen and believe Satan over God, his authority was transferred. So now Satan became Adam's authority because that's who Adam listened to. Do you follow me? In other words, it's like this. When your children listen to you and obey you, they're under your authority. But if they go to school and start listening to their friends and listening to other people and get on social media and start listening to them and believing them, you have lost your authority over them. And these other entities now have authority over your child. Do you follow me? That's the way this works. And it's the same way in the world, in the spiritual matters, as well as in natural matters. And so you and I are submitting ourselves under the authority of God and his word so that the authority that God originally gave Adam can be transferred to us through Christ. Do you understand? So we get back what Adam lost in the garden. Man, I don't know, but that is awesome. So that's what this is really all about. So people who do not have Christ are still under Satan's authority because they're living in a fallen condition. And they are not willing to submit to God's authority. Therefore, they remain under Satan's authority. And last week, we saw how Satan is the prince and the power of the air. He is the one who rules in this world. He is the ruler of this world in this present darkness. That's what the scripture says. And that is the reality that we all have to hold on to as we go through the week. We are not just dealing with people, but we are dealing with people that are under a demonic authority. And they don't even realize it. And so they believe that they are looking out for what is right and what is good and what is best, but ultimately they're doing the work of Satan, and they're under his authority. And I hope that you are understanding this, because this is a very important principle for us to hold on to as Christians so that we will not be deceived by the world. Because once you begin to believe what you are seeing and hearing in the media, then you are transferring the authority that God gives you through Christ back to Satan. And now your mind begins to think and process and operate in the same way as the world does, and you will lose your God-given authority, which means your power and your anointing will also go away. And this is something you don't want to lose. And so this is why we are talking about new life this month, because new life is something that we all have when we come to Christ. We are born anew, born from above. Christ gives us new life, and there is power that goes with that new life. There is authority that comes with that new life. You no longer have to give in to the temptations of the enemy, of Satan. You no longer have to yield to the mentality of this world. You can hold on to the principles of God, and the strength and the power of the Spirit of God will rise up in you, will stir up in you, and you will be empowered by the Spirit of God. And you will be able to stand against the strategies, the Bible says, of the enemy. And the more we abide in the Word of God, the more the Spirit of God can strengthen us. The more you abide in the Word of God, the more the Spirit of God can strengthen you. And so, you and I need to abide in the Word of God. And our prayer is that God would go before us. Don't go anywhere without asking God to go before you, without asking God to make a way for you, to give you favor, asking God to bless the work of your hands and your efforts, to give you wisdom and to give you understanding so that you can see things and perceive things in the way that He does, so you don't get duped into going in the wrong direction or ending up in a place where you become overwhelmed and defeated. You follow me? And so that is why we are talking about renewable energy, because everything we do is it depletes us. We're imparting something. We're giving out something, and we need to be refreshed in God. Sometimes when you're out there in the world can rob you of your joy. Has that ever happened to you? Right? You ever meet grumpy Christians? Yeah, it's because they don't abide in the Spirit of God. They don't abide in the Word of God, and when they give out, they become depleted. And then all it takes is somebody to come along to rub them the wrong way, and then they respond the way the world does. And that's because when you're weak, you can't help it, because your flesh will then control you. You will operate according to your flesh. And you won't hear when the Spirit of God says, "Peace, be still." You won't be able to abide in His presence and feel the presence of God as He begins to stir you to a place where you can speak as of the oracles of God, as Peter says. And so you and I are a part of this new life and this energizing experience that comes from God. And it's important for us to know that we are at war against the enemy. Have you ever tried to make a garden in your house before? Have you ever tried to establish a garden? Well, it's not easy. It's just like you want your garden to flourish. Isn't that right? The Lord will enable us to flourish even as there is warfare in life. There is warfare in the garden, but God will give you the victory. God will enable you to flourish. Are you ready to flourish this morning? Hallelujah. Well, let's pray. Lord, we thank you, oh God, for your word. And we ask, God, that you would arise in the midst of us, that you would strengthen us. We rebuke the devourer and every hindering spirit that would try to distract us from hearing what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to his people. God, we receive your word, and we ask, God, that you would renew us and revive us in the power of the Spirit of God, that you would enable us to be the witnesses you've called us to be. Give us what we need to overcome, knowing what we are about to face in this upcoming week. I ask, God, that you would even make a way for us, even when it seems impossible, that when we call upon the name of the Lord, you will deliver us and make a way for us, that no weapon formed against us would be able to prosper, because you are in the midst of us. And we have submitted our authority according to the word of the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, you and I, we are people who have been called to flourish. God has done something in the midst of humanity that gives us the tools and the resources that we need so that we can flourish. We can live life in a way that we would be able to reflect the very image of Christ, the very principles of the kingdom of God. When Jesus was brought before Pilate and he was talking to them about what he was being accused of by the Jews, one of the things that he said was, he said, "If my kingdom was of this world, my servants would fight." Do you remember that? You remember that? And why did he say that? He said, "Look, my servants aren't of this world. But Jesus was coming to fulfill a purpose. And you and I, when we're born again, when we're born of God, we are no know that you are a spirit that lives in a body. You are a spirit. Newsflash. I know we identify with these bodies. We identify with this. But that's not who we are. When this body goes into the dust of the earth, you will live on. You know, this is not even a matter of discussion. This is a fact. You will live on. And so the issue now becomes, under whose authority will you be as you go into eternity? You want to be under God's authority. Trust me. You don't want to be under your own authority, because that's Satan's authority, because Adam did that for you. And you certainly don't want to be operating under the world as your authority or some other thing as an authority. You want to be under the authority of Christ. And you want to be able to be confident in those things. And that is why you need to flourish as a child of God. You need to flourish as someone who is walking with God, who has a relationship with God. Life ought to be a journey that is leading to better and better things, because Christ is making a way for you. The Spirit of God is making a way for you. Doesn't this look like a flourishing place? Wouldn't you like a garden that looks like this? Would you like to have flowers and, you know, have things growing, fruit and vegetables? You know, this is not easy. It takes a lot of work to get to this place. You know, it starts with what? Seeds. Somebody has to sow a seed. And seeds are important, because whatever the seed is, that's what it's going to grow into. Whatever the seed is, that's what it's going to grow into. And there are many types of seeds being sown at you and at me. And they come from all different places. There is a reason the news celebrates evil. There's a reason for that. It's a strategy behind it. It's by design. It's not just because. There's a reason. They don't have to do it that way. They could just find everything that's great that people are doing and go from one great story to the next. And that would inspire people and be like, man, I want to do that. Oh, I could do that, right? But no, what do? They show you every evil thing that anybody can do. And if anything evil can be found, they will search it out and publicize it. And it'll be on apps on your phone. It'll be everywhere. Why is evil being sown as a seed into people's lives? And then when evil increases, people are going, why is there so much evil in the world? It's because evil is being sown. And when the seed of God is sown, it will bring forth life. And that is what God is wanting us to flourish in. We're not going to allow the seeds of evil to take root in our hearts, in our minds, in our lives. We are going to abide in the seed of God, the Word of God. And that is what will transform your life. But it has to be planted. Somebody has to sow the seed. It has to be planted in the ground. And, you know, there's warfare in the garden. The moment you begin to sow these seeds, guess who's watching you? Oh, the birds. Oh, the birds are watching. You don't even know they're watching, but they're way in the trees. They're way up there, and they're just rubbing their feathers together. Oh, they're like, oh, hey, guys, we don't have to go looking for stuff. Oh, here it is. And they're just there waiting, and you sow the seeds. And there is all types of little critters and creatures that are waiting for you to cultivate that garden. And the seeds get sown into the ground, and if the birds don't get them, if they survive long enough, they start to germinate. They will start to grow, and they will establish roots. And as the roots go down, the shoots go up. To the extent that the roots go down, that's the extent that the shoot can go up. And the Word of God is the same way. And the more you cultivate the Word of God in your heart, then the more you will grow up in the strength and in the power of God. You will find yourself operating under the same authority as Jesus. Hallelujah. You will be able to live with the same strength and the same power that Jesus had, that the disciples had. You will be empowered by the Spirit of God. But you need to have deep roots. And you don't get deep roots by going all over the place, right? You don't see the seeds getting up and running over to the neighbor's garden. Right? You ever see that? You ever see a plant get up and run off somewhere and do something? No, but what do? They anchor down where they're planted. And this is what you and I have to learn how to do. That's why you don't go online and start watching everything and listening to everything and searching everything, doing this and doing that. And, you know, you are going to find yourself having tares sown in your life. And you'll not be able to establish roots because you're not anchored and rooted in one place. And once you begin to establish roots, you will then begin to see a difference. All of a sudden, it starts to come up. And all of a sudden, things will rise up and you'll start to look fruitful. You'll start to look different. You'll sound different. You'll treat people different. Your life experience will be different. Your perception of what is happening around you will be different because you will remember, I'm dealing with a spirit that lives in a body. Every time you engage a human being, you will remind yourself, I'm dealing with a spirit that lives in a body. And God wants to save and deliver that spirit. And so you have the seed of the Word of God that needs to be sown to encourage people, to motivate people in the ways of the Lord. And that is something that is not always easy to do because the birds are looking to rob your seed so that it cannot be sown. And even after it's sown, they will pick it out of the ground. And there will be people who come into your life to try to discourage you from doing what is right. But God wants you to flourish. And we must persevere in these things. Flourishing is a process by which we apply biblical principles that will cause us to grow so that growth can occur. This is why you and I need to abide in the Word of God, because it's easy to forget, especially as we get going with our routine and the things that we need to do. It's easy to become distracted. And so in Luke 8:5, we see this parable that Jesus gives to the disciples regarding the sower. He says, the sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell beside the road, and it was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air ate it up. You see that? You see what happened? Two things happened. What two things? Number one, it fell by the road, and it was what? Trampled underfoot. In other words, people just didn't pay it any mind. They ignored it. They just walked right over it. They crushed it. They killed the seed. And then the second thing was the birds. The birds came. And these are things that happen in your life and mine. And as we're operating in the garden, there is this warfare between just the conditions that exist in the garden. The natural conditions. It's not like birds are like some terrible entity or some bad thing. But birds are part of nature. They're natural. God created the birds. That's what birds do. Birds eat seeds. And so it's not that birds are bad. It's just that they're hungry. They're hungry. And you and I have to understand that there are things that are going to happen in life that are natural. You're going to go through troubles and difficulties and hardships that are just a part of life. And as a result, you and I have to learn how to stand. And even when we're sowing the seed, when we're trying to encourage others and share with others, it's not easy because they don't always receive it. It falls to the ground. They go, I don't want to hear it. And they just walk over it. But that's not your responsibility to try to force them to receive it. Your job is just to sow the seed. You're just sowing the seed. I'm just doing what the Lord told me to do, and I'm trusting it will fall into good ground. He says in verse 6, other seed fell on rocky soil, and as soon as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. So no moisture. There's no water. Without water, a seed can't grow. Isn't that right? In fact, when you plant a seed, you have to plant it in moist soil. You can't plant a seed in dry soil. It's got to be moist soil. Hallelujah. And so he goes on. He says, other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and what? Choked it out. Choked it out. In other words, the seed was trying to grow. The seed was trying to do what it was designed to do. But there's this other thing that came along, a thorn, a weed. It came and it choked it out. It stopped it. It killed it so that it could not prosper. And you and I, we have to watch out for other people who try to choke the word of God out from us. And we have to beware that Satan is doing evil things through people who are there to choke out the word of God from your life so that you can't prosper in the ways of the Lord. In verse 8, it says, other seed fell into the good soil and grew up and produced a crop 100 times as great. As he said these things, he would call out, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Hallelujah. So as Jesus would say this, he's yelling out to everybody, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. You and I, God is calling us to prosper. He's calling us to grow up and to find ourselves in a place where we can be 100 times as great as we were before. Hallelujah. You will flourish when God's word comes alive in your life. When you find yourself operating in the Spirit of God, in the power of God, in the presence of God, you are not your own. You've been bought with a price, the Spirit of God. You have given yourself to Him, and God has taken up residence within you. Your spirit and the Spirit of God come together. And when you stand before the Lord says, enter in to the joy of the Master. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Why? Because he sees you? No, not because he sees you. You are a mess up the whole time. But he sees Christ in you. And that means the cross. Your sin debt is paid. That means whatever Jesus did is being credited towards you. Whenever you surrendered to God and allowed God to work through you, then God gave you credit for that. When you messed up, the Lord said, yeah, that never happened. Why? Because you confessed your sin, and he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sin. And so he pushes that aside. And so he sees the fruitfulness of Christ. So whatever we do under the inspiration of God, under the direction of the word of God, that will bring forth fruit. That will survive. That will live. Why? Because God watches over his word to perform it. Why? Because the Spirit of the Lord is with you, and no weapon formed against you or no strategy working against you can prosper. It doesn't say it will prosper. It says it cannot prosper. It cannot. Why? Because the Spirit of God and the Spirit of the Word of God are one, and they are irresistible. They cannot be overtaken. They can only be ignored by those who have not received it. But once it's sown into your heart, once it has been poured into you, you come alive. You begin to thrive. You begin to experience God in new ways. You know His presence, and He knows you, and you and Him become one. And that is why when you get together with a bunch of other people, He says, where two or three are gathered together in My name, there I'm in the midst. Why? Because the presence and the anointing of God increases, and everybody is fired up. Hallelujah. And that's what the Spirit of God does. And you can always tell when somebody is walking in the Spirit of God. Whether you're on your job, I used to work down in Manhattan, and I worked with a bunch of people. So a lot of them said they were Christians, and others, you know, didn't say much at all. And most of them were probably heathens. Well, no doubt about that. But nevertheless, whenever I engaged another person who was a Christian, I always had a sense that that person was a Christian. Because when I would connect with them, I could feel something. I could sense the anointing of God. I could sense the presence of God. There was something there. And to the extent that the person really was abiding in the Lord, the more they would radiate of the things of God, of the presence of God. But even the most basic Christian in the setting that I was in, it would be obvious that there was something different about them. And that would make you go, I sense that God is doing something in that person's life. And so I just went out there with the understanding that God is doing something in somebody's life, and it's my job to make sure that I can encourage them and be a part of what God is doing. And so I just came in with the joy of the Lord. Hallelujah. I came in with the fullness of the Spirit of God. And I knew that the joy of the Lord was my strength. If I didn't know anything else, I knew that. And so I held on to my joy. Joy is an attribute of God that is like a seed that you have to fight for, because the world will rob you of your joy. They will rob you of your joy. They will rob you of your peace and your patience and your kindness and your gentleness. These are all evidences that God is in your life. And the last thing Satan wants is for you to reflect that into a lost and dying world. That Satan wants you to be miserable. He wants you to be going, ugh. He wants you to look mean. He wants you, you know, ever see the world? They all look mean. Yeah, no, you know, that's what the devil wants. He wants you to, that's promoting evil. It's a spirit of darkness that you go, when you frown, that's a spirit of darkness. But when you smile, that something, your whole body lifts up. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of God begins to expand. It's like breath in you. And there's nothing that anyone can do to rob you of that joy. And you could be in the most challenging and difficult circumstance. When the Spirit of the Lord stirs within you, you go, ha ha! And you cannot resist. And that is what the Spirit of the Lord will do. And that is why you need to be strengthened in God. And so the garden is a war zone. It's a place where there are challenges on every hand. And life is like a garden. Life is like a garden. And so when you're trying to plant your seeds in your garden, there are all kinds of difficulties that you face. Number one, you can plant too early, right? You plant too early, the cold nights will kill your seeds. You can plant your seeds too close together. They're too close so that as they grow up, they suck the nutrients from the soil from each other so they don't get a balance of nutrients. You can have too many plants. You can have overcrowding, right? It's the same idea. It's just too much. Then you have to manage the weeds. Oh, the weeds. This is where the real fun begins, right? You know, my wife loves to plant a garden, and she does such an awesome job. you know, getting out there and cultivating the ground and laying everything out and making everything right. And we all get excited. We're like, yes, what'd you plant? And she goes down her list. And she's got all the things that she planted, and we're all excited. And time goes along, and all of a sudden, here come the weeds. The weeds, right? Did you know that fighting weeds is a full-time job? It's a full-time job. Oh, my goodness. You don't even have to do anything. Those weeds just show up. They show up, and those weeds are there, and you got to go out there every day, every other day, you several times a week, just pulling out weeds, right? You ever have a garden, right? Man, if you miss a day, oh, boy, you're going to do double duty the next day. And you got to stay on top of managing those weeds, because if you don't, the weeds are going to drain the soil of nutrients and your crop will not come up. That's what weeds do. And you and I, we have to be careful about the people we hang around. A lot of times we spend time with people who are like weeds in our life. And they suck the life out of you. They rob you of your joy and your encouragement. And you feel like you're just depleted because of what they do. And a lot of times Satan is slick because he will use people to drain you spiritually but make your flesh feel good. What? You know that is devilish from the get-go. Only the devil can make you feel good in your flesh but drain you spiritually. And that is what a weed will do in your life. That's what thorns will do in your life. And so we have to manage those weeds in our life, just like we manage them in the garden. Then we have to protect them from pests. Oh, you know the pests, right? We already talked about the birds, but then you got the insect world. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, you got insects. You got birds. You got rabbits. You got slugs. You got rodents. You got aphids. Do you know what an aphid is? The beetles, right? You know, aphids, they're these little microscopic creatures that crawl around in the dirt and they attack your roots. Ooh, yes. And they're a challenge to fight because you don't know that they're there until your crop starts going withering down and dying. And so you need something to fight these aphids. And there are something called ladybugs. Do you know what ladybugs are? Ladybugs, they're great. Did you know that? You can put ladybugs in your garden and they will fight aphids. They will eat them. Oh, man, you can't even see them, but those ladybugs do. Those nematodes, those things, they're at war in the garden. Your crop is under attack, but the ladybugs are there fighting, and the nematoids are there fighting, and they give you a chance. Whenever you see ladybugs, don't discourage them. Encourage them. Encourage them. Just take them outside and put them by your flowers. Put them by your fruit and your vegetables, because they are your friend. Hallelujah. And so you and I, we need people in our lives that are like the ladybugs and the nematodes. You need people who can encourage you, who can attack things from the root, people who can intercede in the unseen realm, people who can pray and who can lift you up in prayer because you're under attack in ways you don't even realize, you don't even know. There are things happening in your life that you don't even realize what's at the root of it. But there are those who are able to hear in the Spirit of God, and God will give them what to pray for, and they will call your name out. They will lift you up in prayer. They will cause you to overcome from the root. You will gain strength in God. Oh, hallelujah. Those are intercessory people. They intercede for the saints. Oh, we need people like that. They're not intimidated about praying. They're not ashamed to pray. They could be anywhere. You'll know an intercessor because all of a sudden you'll be talking to them. They'll be like, let's pray. And you'll be like, here? Like now? And it, yeah, they'll be like, yes, right now. You'll be like, okay. Right? And, you know, you want, those are the people you need in your life. You need people who are going to pray right now. If you share challenges and difficulties with people and they say, yeah, I'll be praying for you, and then they walk away, you might as well forget that, because they're going to forget about you. By the time you get out of sight, that prayer is probably never going to happen. You want the person who's going to say, let's pray right now, because right then and there, they're going to attack the root of the enemy and the cause of the problem, and they are going to dry up those aphids, and they are going to bring life to you. And the Spirit of God will rise up. And this is important because you're a spiritual being that lives in a body. So you need spiritual people who can breathe life into you, who can build you up, who can enable you to overcome. And there's warfare in the garden. I'm telling you, there are challenges and difficulties on every side. I know birds are cute, rabbits are cute. Everybody likes the little rabbits. They're so cute. Nobody likes slugs, right? They're slimy. They just look nasty. They leave a little trail of wetness behind them. You know, anything leaving a trail of wetness behind it, you know, you don't. That's just no good. And nobody wants rodents, right? Oh, forget it. Nobody wants rodents. And these are all, but there are these kinds of people in our lives. You need to identify what kind of people you're dealing with. Some of your friends are little slugs. Oh, yeah, they're little slugs. Some of them are rodents. Some of them are like birds. They just swoop in, grab what they want, and then they just take off. And then you got other ones that are rabbits. You know, they're just all over the place. They're quick. They're trying to get you. Oh, come with me over here. Come with me over there. Oh, let's do this. Oh, we're going to do that. Oh, come on up. And they got you running around. You're like, no, I need to stay planted so I can grow some roots. All kinds of people. All kinds of people in our lives. So the next thing we have to do is identify and treat plant diseases. Right? People come to church. There's all types of sicknesses. People have been through all types of challenges and difficulties. And we have to identify and treat the diseases. Sometimes you have to add a little more fertilizer to the soil so that it can be strengthened. Isn't that right? Sometimes you need to add a little water. You need to add, give it a little more sunlight. There's all types of little things that we can do that will cause to bring the pH balance of the soil to where it needs to be so that the plant can have resolve, can have strength, can resist the devil so that he will flee from them. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And that is what you and I have to learn how to do. And we have to be able to identify the problems in our lives, in our children's lives, in each other's lives. We help each other to identify these things so that we can treat them, so that we can ensure that we have a crop 30, 60, and 100-fold. Hallelujah. And so we then have to balance the watering issues, right? Water is always a problem. You know, we had the sprinkler, and we would program it so that it would be on for 10 minutes, you know, in the morning, and another 10 minutes at night, 15 minutes at night, and try to balance it out. And we just had it programmed. And I tell you, man, if it rained, you were doomed. Because if you don't turn off the sprinkler that's automatically watering, you're going to drown out your crop. This is what happens. Balancing water. And what do you do if it just dries and you don't have a sprinkler? Sometimes people water it with the hose, right? You go out there with the hose and you just water it. And if you don't go out there consistently and water and there's a hot spell, you're going to dry up your plants. You're going to dry up all of your vegetables and your fruit. So you have to balance the water. You can't have too much water, but you can't have not enough. And so we have to balance out the water. And water in the Word of God represents the word of God. So just like the seed, it is water. You know, you and I, we need the word itself, which is the sowing of the word. And then we need the watering of the word, which means that we come in and we are encouraging people in the things they already know. Right? So there are things that we know, that we understand. We're just having a hard time keeping up with it or doing it or applying it in our lives. So that you need somebody to come along to water the seed that's in you, to encourage you so that you know that you're doing the right thing, that you're on the right path, because the world is confusing. The world will confuse you. Do you know that Satan is a master deceiver? He is the master deceiver. He can imitate God and goodness and righteousness so well that you would think that evil is good. And that's what's happening in the world. And the world is under deception. And they're under the spirit of deception because they do not have the Spirit of God abiding in them. Without the Spirit of God, you will easily believe the deceiver. And that is why we need the Word of God, because the Word of God will help you to walk in the ways of the Lord, to stay clear. You will gain strength. You will be empowered. You will have, you know, God is so awesome that he doesn't just say, just believe me because I say so, right? I know I had some parents that would do that to me, right? Once in a while. You ever have a parent do that? You know, sometimes your parents just say, look, because I said so, that's why, right? And sometimes you just got to say it because it's too much to explain. I can't get into it all. So, yeah, just trust me. Take me at my word. And so God says the same thing. There are times when it's like that. But God doesn't just leave it at that. God proves himself. God demonstrates himself. There are evidences of God. We're not just believing because the Bible says so, but we are believing because there is evidence that demonstrates that the word of God is true. So we're believing the Bible because it has been proven throughout history. And when you look at the lives of the people who have been operating under the authority or keeping the word of God as their authority, their lives are unique. God does powerful things in the life of people. And it's because the word of God is come alive in their lives. When the word of God comes alive in your life, you will be empowered by God. You will be strengthened by God. The anointing of the Lord will be upon you. The work of your hands, what you do, will be blessed. You will prosper in your ways. You'll be able to remember. You'll be able to do things that you otherwise would not have been able to do because God is with you. This is why we abide in the Word of God. This is why we need other people around us who are going to encourage us and build us up and enable us to overcome. And the last couple of things are, one, keeping nutrients in the soil. You know, if your soil is depleted, your crops will not grow. They will be weak, or they'll be wilted, or they'll just dry up and die over the sun. And so you need to keep good nutrients in your soil. Because if you don't have it, your plants will dry up like the ones outside in front of the church. Oh, yeah. 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 Pastor Raphael, he put his whole heart into putting these flowers out last week. And I'm going to tell you, within 24 hours, they were like. And we're like, what happened? They were just fresh and alive yesterday. But that was a hot day, and there was not enough water in those pots. And those things dried up. They were like dust in the wind. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so there's new ones out there today, so you won't see those, but we'll see how they're doing after church. And so you got to keep nutrients in the soil, and that's this blending of the water, and it's the same thing in your life. You have to keep your nutrients thriving. You got to abide in the Word of God so your spirit can be strong. This is why you find a good church and you ground yourself. I pray that you believe this is a good church. I'm trusting that you believe that because you keep coming back. So, and so, you know, we're not here just for ourselves, but we're here for each other. And we really believe in holding each other up and supporting each other. And where one area of soil gets depleted, we have another area. You just move over to this area and you get strengthened, right? You ever hear of crop rotation? Crop rotation is done because certain crops deplete the soil of certain nutrients. And it will not be able, if you plant the same thing in the same place every year, you'll find that the first year it'll do well, but then the next year it doesn't do as well. And then all of a sudden, by a couple of years in, you can't get it to grow at all, or you got all kinds of problems. And that's because the soil is depleted of the nutrients that those crops need in order to thrive. So you do what is known as crop rotation. You put the corn over here this year, but next year you put it on this side. And you move the string beans from over there to over here. And then you put the tomatoes over here and move these over there. And you're moving things around so that the soil does not get depleted. And then in the meantime, you're making sure your soil is fresh and that it's airy, that the water can come through, and that everything can flow, and that everything is properly spaced. And you're maintaining the nutrient level of the soil. And that is why, as the people of God, that's why we don't just come to church on Sunday. That's why we have different ministries during the week. You can come to Bible study. You can go street evangelizing. You can do other things so that you don't find your soil being depleted. You'll find yourself weak when you go out to the world and you got to deal with people in the world who aren't walking with the Lord, and that can be challenging. Man, that will drain you. You need a pick-me-up. So you got to come. You come to a Bible study in the middle of the week, and sometimes you don't. You're tired. It might be a long day. You just sit there and listen, and then the Spirit of God starts to refresh you. And all of a sudden, you come in tired, and you go out with a little pep in your step. You're like, "Wow, hallelujah, man! I'm feeling good." And the next day, you can go and you can punch the devil right in his face. Hallelujah. And that's because the Spirit of God. There is life in the Word of God. And that is what brings us to the last point of planting location. Where you put your garden is important. Where you go to church is important. The people in your life are important. And we have to make sure that we have everything in good balance so that we're able to accomplish the things that God has called us to do, so that we can flourish, so that we can be lifted up, so that we can be able to be effective at helping other people. Do you know that there comes a point in every Christian's life where if you don't help somebody else, you begin to become depleted? You begin to dry up. You begin to find yourself not able to prosper, because there is a place that God has brought us to where the next step is to be a blessing. Everybody wants a blessing, but sooner or later, you've got to be a blessing. Because if you don't become a blessing, then you will no longer receive blessings, because the same thing that you sow out will come back to you. What you sow, you will also reap. And so if you're selfish or only self-centered or self-focused, you will find that the Spirit of God will only be at a certain point in your life, and you will become stagnant as a child of God. And this is why so many Christians, they get to a certain point and it's like they stop growing. It's because they stop sharing their faith. You don't tell others about the Lord. You don't encourage others in the things of God. And when you are not doing these things, you become stagnant. And so you and I are called to operate under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, so that when God raises you up, he's also moving you forward so that you begin to do the things that Jesus did. You begin to do the things the disciples did. In Romans 8:26, it says, in the same way, Paul says, the Spirit also helps our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And this is why you and I have to maintain a good soil. We have to be praying because we don't even know what to pray. Do you know what's going to happen to you tomorrow? Do you know what's going to happen to you when you leave this place? No, you don't. None of us do. But we are trusting that the Lord has gone before us. Are you? At least I know I am. I'm trusting that the Lord's gone before me. And I'm listening and I'm looking to God to do something. And there are some times when you don't even know what to pray. You ever find yourself in a situation where you don't know what to pray? You don't even know that you should pray sometimes, right? Sometimes you don't even know, well, should I pray? How many times have you heard people that says, well, you know, you should continue to pray about things. And you've heard people say, well, I don't really have anything to pray about. Have you ever heard people say that? Yeah, I've heard people say that. They're like, oh, yeah, no, I don't really have anything to pray about. They're like, how can I pray for you? And they're like, I don't know. I don't really have anything to pray about. I'm like, really? Wow. And sometimes we're discouraged and we feel like we just can't pray. Have you ever been there where you just feel like you just can't pray? Well, that's okay too. God understands that. And that's what this verse is addressing. He's saying, in the same way, the Spirit helps our weakness. That means you don't know, you don't have it to do what you need to do, to pray and the wherewithal to do it. And we don't know how to pray. But the Spirit himself, you gotta love that. The Spirit himself, God himself, the Spirit with you. This is why you need to be filled with the Spirit of God. You need the Spirit of the Lord abiding within you. Because sometimes the Spirit has to cry out on your behalf. The Lord is there going, I don't know about the rest of you guys, but I think we need a little help from above. This guy is not getting it. This elevator is not going to the top floor. And Holy Ghost says, hey, Lord. And he just starts going, groanings. And utterances too deep for words. Hallelujah. The Spirit of God intercedes for you. Man, I don't. Hallelujah. When you feel like you can't, like you don't understand, like it's just sometimes you just want to lay there and you just feel, oh, the Spirit of God cries out in your behalf. When Jesus came into Jerusalem, they told him to tell his disciples to be quiet. And what did he say? He said, if these are quiet, the rocks will cry out. Well, the Word of God says, if you don't pray, your spirit will cry out. The Spirit of God within you will cry out. The Spirit of the Lord will cry out in your behalf. The Lord knows how to pray. He knows what to pray. He knows what you need. And God will cry out on himself. Hallelujah. Oh, my God. Hallelujah. Because God doesn't want you to dry up and die. He wants you to flourish. He wants you to come to life. So he is going to stand in the gap in your behalf. Have you ever read the scripture that says that Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father, ever making intercession for the saints? The saints of God, if Jesus is up there rooting for you and crying out before the Father in your behalf, how can you lose? You can't lose. The Lord is with you. Oh, my Lord. Oh, my goodness gracious. This is why you need to have joy, unspeakable joy. Because even when you can't, God can. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And God will hold you up. He will sustain you. You will be like, I don't even know right now. I don't even know. And all of a sudden, God will just be there holding you up. He'll just be there holding you up, man. You won't even understand it until a week later. And all of a sudden, you'll be feeling better. And all of a sudden, you'll be like, I don't even know how that even happened. I don't even know how I got through that. I don't know how all of a sudden, God just tweaked it a little bit, just enough to take the pressure off. And all of a sudden, you could breathe easier. That's what God will do. Oh, those are groanings they're too deep for words. That means there's nothing you can even say to explain it. There's nothing you can say that will bring an understanding. All you know is the Spirit himself did a work. Hallelujah. The Psalm says, Psalm 92:13 says, planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. Saints of God, when you're planted in the house of the Lord, you will flourish. You will flourish. I'm telling you, if you're faithful in the house of God, you're faithful at our church here, your people online, you got a church somewhere. When you're faithful in the church, in the house of God, God will cause you to flourish. God will raise you up. Those of you who have sown into this house, into this church, into this building, into these ministries, God is going to sustain you. God is going to hold you up. And I guarantee you, you will not fail. And you will not fall short. God will hold you up. He will cause you to flourish. He will balance out your soil. He will hold back the birds. He will keep the pestilence and all of the critters from eating at your roots. God will sustain you. He will open doors. He will make a way. He will balance out all of those things that would cause you to be hindered, and he will enable you to flourish. God will raise you up. Oh, yes, he will. The Psalm 1 says, how blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. He says, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Hallelujah. Are you meditating in the Word of God? Oh,